Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, In the Midst of Spiritual Pain. Job trusted in the unfailing love of Yahweh, Elohim. I'm going to do recapping of a last show that discussed something of the character of Job. And we got to read and to speak about the profound character of this individual. This man was most certainly materially prosperous. There was great material prosperity in his life. And along with that material prosperity was a very dynamic and rich relationship with Yahweh, much like that of Abraham. So, Job understood something about God that is going, something about the ways of God that is going to be unpacked for us through this study. Job indeed has a rich relationship with God. He is an individual who knows what it means to abide in the love of God. He knows what it means to abide in the will of God. In the Greek, the word is meno. It means to stay. So Jesus enjoined his disciples to abide in him. It is there, it is within abiding, within the love of God, remaining within the sphere of a very wonderful relationship with God that creates the focus that you and I need. Paul put it this way, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So abiding in Christ, abiding in Yahweh's love, creates the mindfulness, the focus. It creates that depth of character and purpose that you and I need. Job possessed this characteristic heart. Those who were spiritually blind did not understand that type of individual. Even with incomplete information, they felt that they had a complete understanding of Job's of Job's situation. They believe that their theory, their philosophical theories about Job's situation and condition, warranted Job's acceptance. Because they had him figured out. Their philosophical, theoretical algorithms, their recipe were adroit, were complete, at least according to them. And if Job wanted to be released from the judgment that they believe was in his life, he should agree with them. But that which controls the tongue and that which controls, or he which controls the character of Job, not that, but he which controls the tongue and the character of Job, knew that Job's trust was solidly boxed. His trust was solidly, or that his trust solidly rested in Yahweh's unfailing love. Please note that Hosatan, the adversary, and Job's friends, 3+1, show no love for God. Indeed, his friends, as it were, pressed Job for a confession that he was holding on to some secret sin. Job was not in search of a soul. Job had a great and wonderful soul that had been wonderfully transformed through his relationship with God. So, Job is in the midst of the fire. See that the fire is not the fire of wrath, but Job's faith is being tested. God is not angry with Job. Job is not under the wrath or the glowing anger of Yahweh. That is not what is going on here. The spiritual dross is being burned away. Job's character is gold, and God is taking away the impurity, or that which will hinder Job from going into further and deeper and richer. And it is through the instrumentality of the Satan and Job's friends that we see, through the pressure who Job is. Pressure reveals who we are. Pressure reveals our character. The pressure is exquisite. Pressure that is in Job's life, fine. In order to establish before the world. Who Yahweh was and who Yahweh is in the lives of believing ones. And therefore, how appropriate that the book of Job is the oldest book. It is the oldest document in the Word of God. What we're going to also see additionally, what we will come to understand, is that in the Hebrew mind, righteousness, that is, that which is right, righteousness is what one does, not what one talks about and fails to practice. Righteousness is what one does, what one talks about and fails to practice. And here you're thinking, rightness is about, or rightness is demonstrated through the instrumentality of concrete action. In the West, we have been conditioned to believe that if one can provisionally define something, we believe in things in the West. If one can generate a definition of a phenomenon, then one has understood the phenomena. So, if something can be packaged in a definition, if something or if a phenomenon can be wrapped up or packaged by a definition, we believe in the West that we have understood the phenomena or phenomena. But in the Hebrew mind, very old and yet contemporary book, we see a fundamental struggle. And that struggle is understood by Paul Tillich, who wrote, quote, "There is something in the misfortune of our closest friend that does not displease us," unquote. And that statement is given by Paul Tillich. And I see this in the attack upon Job by his friends, 3+1. Job's first test in chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and who shuns evil.'" Verse 9, notice the way the enemy responds to God. Notice the statement. "Does Job fear God?" So much packed in those six words. And it reminds me of Genesis chapter 3. "Yea, hath God said." Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land, but stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." In the Hebrew, it reads, in verse 8, closer, instead of "have you considered my servant Job," it reads, "have you set your heart upon my servant Job? Have you set your heart upon my servant Job?" So now we have a very different, so now we see something else. "Have you set your heart upon my servant Job?" And then in verse 12, we see the permissive will of God in action. The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hand. Everything he has is in your hand. But on the man himself do not lay up." So in verse 12, we see the permissive will of God, and we see the limitation of the permissive will of God. We see a boundary given to the faith, a boundary beyond which we cannot and must not pass. There is a precision given here in this statement. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then we read, "Then Satan went out from the presence," or from the face of the Lord. One brother wrote, "God's people are soldiers on the battlefield, but sometimes they are the battlefield." Now, you may feel at this time that you, that your life is a spiritual battlefield. You may be facing an event or a situation that is indeed challenging your faith. You may feel that you are the only one who has ever faced this particular situation. And you are being challenged to know the love of God for such an event or for such a situation. And the pressure may be so intense that you have begun to feel sorry for yourself. And the pressure that you are under now may be so intense that you feel abandoned by God. It is a secret belief, one that you dare not share with others. But in your heart of hearts, you may begin to believe that the Almighty does not know, that the Almighty does not see, and that the Almighty does not know the depth of my pain and what I am feeling. And you may feel ashamed that you feel so weak in your heart and in your faith. But know that these feelings are generated by emotions. God has made you an emotional being, and I do not say this in order to give life, because certain persons who are opportunistic in character will misinterpret what I say and what I mean. Job is very emotional in his testing. His words are filled with a man who is emotional about his situation, and yet never is there a hint that because of the pressure he is experiencing, will he give himself or he will opportunistically allow himself to sin or provide an excuse to become mired in sin. Job does not do that. Job knows the love of God. Job knows the love of Yahweh. Job will experience wave upon wave of striking, of unexpected, shocking grief. Verse 13, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and noticed a serene pastoral city. And the Sabians attacked and carried them off." Notice the verbs. "They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert, that is, the Sirocco, and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them. They are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, a symbol of grief, shaved his head as a symbol of grief. Then he fell to the ground, worship, and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." He fell to the ground in self-pity. No. He fell to the ground in worship. This great sense of loss, this great grief that had taken over Job's soul, challenged him . Job did not lose self-control. that he was fear-stricken. There was intense grief and sorrow. Sudden, unexpected. He fell to the ground and worshiped. Here is profound worship. Here is real worship. The word worship is an old Anglo-Saxon term, which means to ascribe or to. This was not post-trauma. Job was in the midst of trauma. There's nothing post about his trauma. It is present tense. It is there in its naked immediacy. He fell to the ground and worshiped. Doesn't say, does it mean that he picked up a hymnal? Or that he picked up a scroll straight from the Word of God? The Word of God was in his soul. He practiced the Word. Through all of his actions. Doesn't mean that he called a group to pray with him, or to pray with his behalf, fell to the ground and worship. The shocking realization that his life has been turned upside down made Job worship. Shocking realization. Loved one are now gone. Job, go before Yahweh in worship. Job goes to God. He knows the presence of God is strong in his heart. He relies upon God in the midst of this great spiritual pain. We are indeed spiritual beings. Job knows this. He goes before God, that is, he falls before God in excruciating pain. Falls to the ground and worship. I've been there. I know what it's like. It's the best and most wonderful place to be. When there is spiritual pain. My name is Dr. Josiah Reed. Have a wonderful day.